Glory to God. Thank God for the word of God. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. I welcome you to another episode of Every Day with Jesus broadcast, where lives are being transformed by the preaching and the teaching of the word of God. God's word has worked in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. God's word will never fail because God's word came to pass already in Christ. The Bible says all the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen to the glory of God through us. The word of God has come to pass. The word of God has come to pass in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are standing on the fulfillment of the promises of God. The Bible is not a book of promises, not just a book of promises. It's also a book of promises revealed in Christ Jesus. It's also a book of promises fulfilled in Christ Jesus. And then we have the receipt of the fulfillment of these promises. The Old Testament is a book of promises. The New Testament is a receipt of promises fulfilled. Thank God for the word. I welcome you again to another encounter with the word of God. Let's say a word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for clarity. Thank you for insight. Thank you for wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of your word. Thank you, Father, because for every confusion, we find answers. We find clear-cut answers and insights from your word. Thank you, because no soul under the sound of this voice will leave this broadcast confused. There will be light and clarity. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We pray for every sick body. If your body is sick, we receive healing right now, wholeness, restoration, by the power of the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. So we've been studying spiritual growth and what it looks like. Spiritual growth and what it looks like. Hallelujah. And then in the last episode, we emphasized the place of the mind. And then we saw in scriptures how that the mind is the place for receiving spiritual revelation. The mind is a place for receiving divine revelation, illumination, and light. It is the mind of man that is meant to be affected now that we are born again. We also saw that even at the point of salvation, God could not save men without influencing their minds. So that Bible says in Luke 24, verse 45, how that Jesus opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. We saw that the word understanding is the word nous in the Greek, which means intellect and mind. So Jesus could not even influence his disciples unto salvation without influencing their minds with the truth of the word of God. There was a logical presentation of scriptures, walking them through scriptures, through everything that was said about him in the Old Testament, Luke 24, 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Knowledge was presented to them logically, precept upon precept, line upon line, and then they had a grasp of the truth. And that was how they were saved. Hallelujah. That is exactly how we also have been sent to save men. So look at the instruction, go into all the world and teach all the creatures. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew's account says, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. The KJV says, go into all the world and teach all nations. It is by teaching we bring men into salvation. Hallelujah. Men cannot be saved without the preaching and the teaching of the word. Men cannot grow without the preaching and the teaching of the word. At 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, Bible says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise and where is the scribe and where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Through the foolishness of the message preached, proclaimed, eroded. There is a message to be preached and proclaimed and eroded. Men must hear something before they can be saved. Hallelujah. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So you see that there's a preaching involved in bringing men into reconciliation with God. Men cannot be saved if they do not have a grasp of the language. Hallelujah. In fact, if somebody has a disability, maybe a hearing disability, he cannot be saved until we get him healed of his hearing disability so he can hear the gospel, or we, reach out to him through sign language. In the case where the person does not believe God for healing, or the person is not receiving healing, you can communicate the gospel through sign language. But the person must have a grasp of the language. So, spiritual growth is something that takes place as we develop our minds with the knowledge of the word of God. It involves the use of our intellectual faculties. You can't wish for spiritual growth. You can't just pray for spiritual growth. You must expose your mind to the knowledge and the light of the word of God. Hallelujah. Now look at this. So we had such great emphasis on knowledge, which affects the mind. And then today I want to, make progress on this. And then tomorrow we'll move on to other aspects of this teaching. So let me just make more progress. Let me emphasize a while again on how our intellectual faculties, which is the mind, is involved in, receiving the word of God in this process of spiritual growth. You cannot neglect your mind. Praise God. You see, a man does not need to process many things before he receives healing. Does not need to process many things. A man may not even have to read scriptures or pay attention to scriptures or anything to receive healing. The woman with the issue of blood, for instance, did not meditate on scriptures. Are you aware? She just said in her heart, if I touch the hem of his garment, I'll be whole. So a man does not even need to process many things, put informations or facts together to receive healing, to receive miracles. He just needs to believe and trust that God can use that vessel. And that's it. But not so for spiritual growth. The spiritual growth that is taught in the Bible involves the use of our intellect, involves the use of, paying attention to instructions, involves paying attention to what is said, involves carefully taking in information till it makes sense in your mind. And that is why there's an emphasis on teaching in the Bible. That is why spiritual leaders are called teachers. Hallelujah. You see, people who say, Bible study is not academic, it's not an intellectual thing. They forget the fact that the Bible refers to spiritual leaders as teachers. Amen. I mean, you hear such things. He says, we are teachers to teach the flock, to teach all nations. And then you say it's not academic. It is academic. The only difference is that this is spiritual education. This is spiritual education, but it involves the use of your intellect to recognize facts and to process information and to agree with those information. Hallelujah. So look at this carefully. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy and chapter 3. Spiritual maturity takes place only as we expose our minds to the word of God. Perhaps, listen, let me quickly say this. Perhaps if many Christians come to this reality or come to terms with this fact, they will pay more attention to Bible study. Hallelujah. You know, some years back, someone was reaching out to me. She wanted to grow. She didn't know what to do. So she said she just wants to grow. She just wants to grow. Then I said, well, it's all about the word. You must have time for the word. You must be taught. You must read your Bible. You must pray every day. And then she says, that's the problem. I don't really have time for now. I just hope that God will just, make me grow. I said, you are missing the point. Spiritual growth will not come until you expose your mind to the right information on a regular basis. Many Christians are just wishing for growth. It's like sitting down and wishing that your stomach is filled with food when you get hungry. I mean, you take something, you take a step, you gravitate towards food. Hallelujah. You motion towards food and you begin to eat. That's why, you see, it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. The desire there is an active receiving of the word. The same way a baby partakes of milk. Hallelujah. It is not wishing for growth or just hoping that you are going to grow. It is doing what you need to do to grow, which is to receive the word of God, to expose your mind to the truth of the word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 3, glory to God. I'll read from verse 1. Look at this now. Qualification for pastors, leaders in the church. Very sacrosanct. Bible says, this is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. Verse 2. A bishop then must be blameless. The husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. Amongst the qualifications for leaders, for elders in the church, is that he must be able to teach. It looks to me as though today, many pastors do not fit this requirement. They have not met this requirement. They don't fit this description of people who are able to teach. Hallelujah. People who are able to teach. And it's a problem with the way we recruit pastors. It's a problem with the way we just produce pastors in their numbers. You just attend a workers or a conference meeting for pastor. You just attend a 1 week training program for church leaders. And then you come back and you're already a pastor. And then they appoint you as a leader in the church. It's a result of the way we train and raise believers these days. Hallelujah. It says he must be able to teach. The word able to teach there in the Greek is the word that means to be skillful in teaching. He must have skill in teaching. He must be able to pass across information skillfully. Glory to God. He must be able to connect scriptures together. He must know the scriptures that should never meet. He must know the scriptures that are together, scriptures that corroborate themselves. He must know the scriptures that should be presented on a subject every time. When we talk about righteousness by faith, he must know the portions and the chapters and the verses of the Bible to consult. Praise God. When we talk about faith, he must know the scriptures to consult. When we talk about healing, he must know the scriptures to go to. When we talk about holiness, forgiveness, walking in love, he must have the scriptures. When we want to make a defense of the gospel of grace as opposed to legalism, he must know where to go in the Bible. Hallelujah. That is what it means to be skillful in teaching, to be apt to teach. Hallelujah. It also means to be didactic, to be instructive. It is a qualification for elders and leaders in the church. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 to 11. 1 Timothy in chapter 4. Verse 6 to 11. Bible says, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you'll be a good minister. Hallelujah. A good minister instructs the brethren in sound doctrine. It's a task. He must be able to instruct the brethren in sound doctrine. It says, if you do this, then you'll be a good minister. Hallelujah. You'll be a good minister. Glory to God. He must be able to instruct the saints. Look at verse 9. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end, we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. Verse 11. These things command and teach. Hallelujah. Have you seen? Command and do what? And teach. The pastor, the leader, the spiritual leader must be able to teach, because spiritual growth does not happen outside a growth in knowledge and understanding. People must be able to exercise their minds. Glory to God. Exercise their minds in spiritual things. In fact, at verse 7, when he says, but reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things. You know that word, to exercise yourself is the word that means to train. That's the word gymnazo in the Greek. It means to exercise rigorously. To exercise the mind rigorously. Hallelujah. It means to use your mind, your intellectual faculties, to exercise it in something. Glory to God. So it involves the use of your intellectual faculties. 1 Timothy chapter 6, look at verse 2. Hallelujah. In fact, I'll read from verse 1. Let as many bond servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. Verse 2. And those who are believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather serve them because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things. Have you seen? It is to be taught. Glory to God. Believers will not turn out well. Believers will not turn out well with respect to their conduct unless they are taught and instructed in sound doctrine. Praise God. Look at 2 Timothy, I'm going to say 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses. Commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Have you seen? Commit to men who are able to teach. Men were able to instruct, to train men in knowledge. Because outside knowledge and, you know, exposing our minds to the knowledge and to the understanding, the wisdom of God, we cannot grow spiritually. Hallelujah. Many believers are not growing because they are not taking knowledge seriously. Praise God. They are not taking knowledge seriously. And listen, I understand that there are people who claim to have knowledge, There are people who seem to have a lot of knowledge, so much knowledge, but are not bearing any fruit spiritually. We'll address that. But then, we'll never have to talk down on knowledge because of those kind of people. Praise God. At all. In fact, I'm going to show you something in scriptures in this particular episode. You see that we are never to talk down on knowledge because some Christians who seem to be full of knowledge are not bearing the right fruit. The right thing to do is not to talk down on knowledge because we always need knowledge in our quest for spiritual maturity. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. Hallelujah. Bible says, "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth." He says, he must be able to teach. He must be gentle to all. He must not be a quarrelsome person. That is, he must not be given to malice and bitterness and all that. I mean, there are times you meet with opposition, you correct them, you teach them, you instruct them, they fight you, there's a back and forth argument, there's a heated argument, there's disputing and all that, but you must not get into bitterness and malice. You must not be quarrelsome. You must be able to continue to sustain teaching and to correct them in humility and to keep correcting and instructing and hoping that God will grant them repentance by his word. Hallelujah. So spiritual maturity is the development of the mind. Growth happens when we begin to understand the word. Praise God. There will not be growth outside an understanding of the word of God, of the scriptures. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. There must be an understanding, growth in understanding. Amen. When I say a Christian is maturing in the faith, I mean the person is growing in an understanding of the word of God. The person is maturing in his knowledge and understanding of the word. There is no growth outside an understanding of the scriptures, of the word of God. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Look at this carefully. 1 Corinthians in chapter 13, verse 11. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Oh, hallelujah. Look at this now. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 11. It says, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." You see, the problem with childishness or immaturity in the faith is a lack of knowledge, a lack of insight, a lack of understanding. It says, "I spoke as a child." Why? Because I understood as a child. Because I thought as a child. Hallelujah. So until the thought pattern is changed, until his understanding matures, he won't quit childish things. Praise God. See many Christians who are involved in childish things today. The way they talk about the Christian faith, the way they present, you know, matters of the faith is so childish, so awkward. They will not leave that realm of being childish until that realm of stage of being childish until they mature in knowledge and understanding of the word. It says, when I became a man, I put away childish things. How do we become men? You know, men, becoming a man here speaks of maturity because it's a contrast with being childish. It's a contrast with being a babe. So when I became a man, that is when I matured. So how do we mature? How do we become men in the faith? 1 Corinthians in chapter 14, verse 20. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20. Bible says, "Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature." Hallelujah. Don't be children in understanding. So you see that people become children. People are children rather in the faith. People are babes in the faith because of their knowledge. Because of their knowledge level. Because of their state. Because of the state of their mind, because of their understanding. So don't be children in understanding. It says, however, in malice be babes. That is, be simple. Hallelujah. Don't be somebody who is so mature in malice. Some folks will even brag about it. I can keep malice for a year. That's not maturity. That's spiritual immaturity. Don't be babes in understanding. In malice be babes. Hallelujah. That is, don't be experienced in malice. It now says, but in understanding, be mature. So where does understanding take place? Where does maturity take place, rather? In our understanding. The man that grows in an understanding of the word, the man that grows in his understanding and the knowledge of the word, is the man that becomes mature. Praise God. So when I was a child, I thought as a child, I understood as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Becoming a man, becoming mature, is a result of growing in your understanding of the word of God. Hallelujah. It's a result of growing in what? Your understanding of the word of God. Look at this carefully. See how spiritual immaturity played out in the church at Corinth. See how spiritual immaturity showcased itself in the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, glory to God. And I'll read from verse 1 to 8. Bible says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ." Verse 2, "I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" You see, lack of spiritual growth makes us behave like mere men. That is, you act like the natural man who is unsaved. You begin to act like an unregenerate person. The same traits, the same conduct, you know, envy and divisions and all these things are the works of the flesh. So you begin to exhibit the traits and the works of the flesh, though you are saved, but you lack spiritual maturity. Hallelujah. Look at verse 4. It says, "For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are of one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor." So you see that the Corinthian church were so carnal, they were comparing ministers. Amen. Now this was not a case of a sound minister versus a false teacher. No. This was a case of three sound ministers of the gospel. They had Paul, they had Apollos, they had Cephas, that is Peter, the apostle. All three were sound in doctrine. All three of them were sound in doctrine. That's why their ministry was complementary. It is not I plant Apollos uproots. It is I plant Apollos waters and God brings the increase. So in spite of the fact that all three ministers were sound ministers of the gospel, the Corinthian church was comparing them. And some were walking in preference towards the Apostle Paul. Some preferred Cephas. Some preferred Apollos. So see how spiritual infancy or spiritual immaturity plays out. You begin to compare ministers of the gospel. Hallelujah. So lack of maturity showcases itself in many ways. Now, this is where I'm going. Paul refers to them as men who were carnal, men who were, you know, babes in Christ. But in the opening chapter of 1 Corinthians 1, or 1 Corinthians rather, which is 1 Corinthians 1, Paul had commended these same saints of being enriched in all utterance and knowledge. So, how does this add up really? In this place, you say they are babes in Christ. We have emphasized the place of knowledge in bringing men to maturity. Paul at 1 Corinthians 1 says they were enriched in all utterance and all knowledge, and they came short in no gift. Hallelujah. So how do we reconcile what he said at chapter 1 with their, you know, state of being babes in Christ in spite of so much knowledge? Does this make sense? Let us examine it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 from verse 4. Bible says, "I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ." So he says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge. Hallelujah. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift. So these guys were enriched in all knowledge. Do you know what he was talking about here? They had access to knowledge. They were taught. They were being well taught. Hallelujah. They had very sound teachers of the word. Imagine a church that had access to Paul, access to Apollos, access to Cephas, which is Peter. Imagine a church like that. So they were enriched in all knowledge and utterance. They were being well taught. Praise God. It says, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, it was men that taught them the word of God. So they had access to knowledge. You can be in a word church. You've received a lot of insights, knowledge, but it doesn't mean you are mature. Praise God. So at 1 Corinthians 14:20, he was calling their attention to something. He says, in understanding, be mature. So there's access to knowledge, but you've not allowed this knowledge to influence you. Guess what? Paul is not going to talk down on knowledge because of their conduct and character, because these guys were not living a life that, you know, matched up to the knowledge they claim to have. Paul was not going to talk down on knowledge and say knowledge is not necessary. It's not about knowledge. No. Paul was going to correct their deficiency by more knowledge. Praise God. Hallelujah. More knowledge. It's amazing that Paul would not say it's not about knowledge. He began to teach them more. He wrote more letters. He wrote 2 letters to them. Hallelujah. After they had informed him about the carnality of certain members of church, Paul wrote the 1st letter. He wrote the 2nd letter. He was teaching more. He was sharing more insights. Hallelujah. So the solution to carnality, the solution to immaturity, even for those who seem to have knowledge, is not to talk down on knowledge. It is to share more knowledge. It is to instruct more. It is to teach all the more. It is to remind them of that which they already know. Praise God. Look at an example. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Glory to God. An example, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. It says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Do you not know? Praise God. Is to remind people of what they already know, that is yet to affect the way they are conducting themselves. So the solution will never be to talk down on knowledge, to say it's not about knowledge. It's about the walk in love. A walk in love is impossible outside the knowledge of the Word of God. It is as men grow in knowledge and in their understanding, they're able to walk in love. So 1 Corinthians 14:20 again. Look at what it says again. It says, brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice, be babes. The way we are going to be babes in malice, the way we are going to be simple concerning, you know, such evil things, is if we don't remain children in understanding. Hallelujah. Is when in understanding we become mature. So you see that it is the knowledge of the Word of God and understanding of the Word of God that will make us simple concerning, you know, the works of the flesh. Malice is a contrast to love. You know, the man that works in love cannot work in malice and envy and all that. So the man that will be simple in malice will remain a babe in malice, in envy, in all those kind of things, will be a man that is growing in understanding. So there is no walking in love outside growth in knowledge and understanding. I'll close with Philippians chapter 1. Hallelujah. Philippians in chapter 1. Glory to God. Philippians in chapter 1. I'll read from verse 9. Bible says, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and discernment. Your love may abound in knowledge and discernment. In knowledge and discernment. That your love may abound in knowledge and what? And discernment. So how does our love abound? In knowledge and discernment. The man that does not know as he ought to know cannot love as God will have him love. Hallelujah. It takes knowing the Word of God. It takes knowing the love of Christ for you to walk in love towards others. That's exactly the same way we also express love towards God. It says we love Him because He first loved us. It is by knowing His love, by comprehending His love, we're able to extend that love to others. You can't love men as God will have you love them if you don't first know His own love. Glory to Jesus. So you must know the love of God. After you know the love of God, and the love of God, you know, enriches your heart, that knowledge enriches your heart, you're able to now transfer the same to others, the same energy, as it were, to others. So there's no walking in love outside growth in knowledge and understanding. Look at verse 11. It says, okay, verse 10, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. How do we become full or filled with the fruits of righteousness? As we are bound in knowledge. Hallelujah. As we are bound in knowledge. So there is no growth in our walk in love. There's no growth in Christian service. There's no growth in conduct outside abounding in knowledge and discernment. It is very important. It is very key. We cannot wish knowledge away. So you see that Paul addressed the deficiency of the Corinthian church who had knowledge, who were enriched in knowledge and utterance. He addressed that their deficiency with more knowledge. More knowledge, more teaching, more insight. Listen carefully. When you find a Christian who seems to know so much, but his life is yielding so little. Hallelujah. He knows so much, but his life is yielding so little with respect to walking in love service, with respect to walking in the fruit of the Spirit, his conduct, his lifestyle, and all that. You found a Christian who does not know as he ought to know. Praise God. If he knows as he ought to know, his life will bear fruit. So the solution will not be to say, in spite of all you know, and then, you know, it's just knowledge. Knowledge, knowledge, not, no. The solution will be to draw him close and to teach him more. Praise God. To teach him more. The more he knows as he ought to know, the more his life will begin to yield the right fruit. Even as an individual, when you find yourself, you know, walking contrary to the life you have received, you ought not to say, in spite of all I know. You should be aware that means you don't know as you ought to know. That means you ought to pay more attention to the things you think you already know till they influence your mind and they influence the way you act, the way you think, the way you conduct yourself and behave yourself in this world. Hallelujah. In the midst of men. So I'll say it again. Spiritual growth involves the development of our mind. It involves the use of our intellectual faculties. It involves the development of our mind. As we mature in our intake of the word, as we mature in our understanding and knowledge of the word of God, we mature in the way we behave and conduct ourselves in this world. So let's go for knowledge. Let's go for knowledge. Let's exercise our minds and expose our minds to the knowledge of the word of God. We'll continue from here tomorrow. Do good to tune in. Invite your friends, family members, colleagues, classmates, and let's come together to have a great time in the word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the word, full of faith, full of power, full of spiritual songs, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.